Hello out there in podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, your movie review podcast where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I'm your host, Hollywood, and I'm joined by Adam today.
Hello.
And it's just us two.
Yeah.
And we decided, since we're both Breaking Bad fans, we decided to do a movie that has a well-known actor from Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Who could it be? Is it Walter White?
Right.
Is it Gustavo Fring? Is it the wife? Whatever her name was?
The wife. She's everyone's gone on to do different things now.
Yeah.
We got the Fring is in Once Upon a Time as,
uh-huh.
as the mirror.
Mirror.
The wife is in Grace Point.
Yes, which was a remake of a British crime drama.
Right. Broadchurch was the original.
There you go.
Also starring David Tennant, which is the former doctor.
There you go.
The 10th doctor, I believe. But, yeah, and then Pinkman has gone on to do this.
Yes.
Huh.
I think we gave it away.
Oh, yeah.
It's Need for Speed.
Dope.
Based on the video game.
Right.
I've never played the video game Need for Speed. I know you just drive and you crash into a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the concept.
Yeah. Well, oof. No, Need for Speed is more of like a legitimate racing.
Oh, so it's like Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo. Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
Where you buy parts, you upgrade your car, blah, blah,
okay.
blah. What you're thinking about, I think it's called Burnout.
Burnout's the one.
That's freaking insane.
Okay.
Where you knock people off and they throw them on fire.
Yeah, for some reason I was like, shouldn't like Jesse have driven over like a booster pack or something?
That was like they did in Death Race.
Yes.
That's kind of after Twisted Metal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Video game where they had those things, you run over the thing,
mm-hmm.
you get certain, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's a different movie altogether.
Yeah.
But this wasn't really based on the video game, I think. I think they just used the name because there's racing in it, and they wanted to get the crossover, like, hey, remember that game you guys all like? Well, here's a movie.
And it stars a guy who you consider the best show ever.
Right. There's racing.
Yeah.
So come on, guys.
Yeah.
Watch our movie.
And there's Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah. And I don't remember hearing much about this when it came out.
Yeah, I remember I saw the trailer twice, and then I don't remember this movie coming out in theaters.
Yeah, me neither. It must have snuck by or something.
Yeah, I was like, whatever happened to that Jesse Pinkman movie?
Yeah, I remember seeing him be like, oh, yeah, here we go. Let's go, Jesse. Let's see what you got.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, what happened to him?
Do you think the last episode of Breaking Bad, when he drove to New York and started this? No, it's a dick. I know. Let me break this down before we start. This movie came out in 2014. It was directed by Scott Waugh, W-A-U-G-H.
Wow.
Wow.
It's like a Christopher Walken. Wow.
Yeah. There you go. Starring Aaron Paul, who's Jesse Pinkman.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse. Dominic Cooper, who is the rival, the main bad guy.
Okay.
Imogen Poots. I think that was the blonde chick. And
right.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Our Batman.
Yes.
A surprise cameo. He's not on any posters.
No.
They didn't promote him. They didn't say Michael Keaton's in this.
They should have. He's like Tom in this movie, though, from Facebook.
Yeah.
He like created this whole network of something.
Uh-huh.
It's a very weird
thing. We'll get it to that. Let me hit you guys with a brief synopsis. Fresh from prison, a street racer who was framed by a wealthy business associate joins a cross-country race with revenge in mind. His ex-partner, learning of the plan, places a massive bounty on his head as the race begins.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good synopsis, but they're kind of missing a lot of things.
There's a lot of jumping around there.
Yeah, pretty much what's happening is he was framed, but he has to go across country from New York to San Francisco to compete in a race run by...
A secret race.
A secret race. You can only be invited to it. There's only six racers?
Eight.
Six or eight?
Eight. There's eight.
Yeah, eight. Yep. Michael Keaton, who's... I think his name's the Monarch.
Okay.
He's hosting the secret race. So he's trying to... They're going across country to compete in this race to try to prove his innocence.
Right.
While busting the guy. He's Dracula. You know that shitty Dracula movie that just came out?
No.
Dracula Untold?
Yeah, yeah.
That's him.
Okay, that's the whole Maleficent style of movie where he's a good guy now?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Here's his origin story.
Okay.
So
you got it all wrong?
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll refer to him as Dracula now.
Okay, all right.
He was also in Captain America. The first Captain America. He's Tony Stark's dad in that movie.
Oh.
He's Howard Stark.
What?
Yeah. Did you ever see the first Captain America movie?
Yeah, I think so. That's what.
Yeah,
with,
remember
Agent Smith?
This is where they show him in World War II.
Right.
Agent Smith? Oh, yeah. He was the Red Skull.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He was Howard Stark. He's the guy who paid for the whole operation to turn him into Captain America.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. But we'll just go with Dracula. So, Adam, what did you think of Need for Speed?
Overall, I enjoyed it.
Yes.
It made me feel good.
Yeah.
But there was still a lot of things like, come on.
Oh.
Come on.
I think I knew what your turn off was. I'm going to try to guess. Did you have one?
I got to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, let me go through my notes again.
Okay. I think as we go through it, it might pop up.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Not to the point of like Expendables ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it was ridiculous-ish, but still kind of grounded a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple scenes that are like, that's impossible, but the whole suspension disbelief a little bit. I would still put this in my world.
Okay.
And enjoyable, but I understand, I think, why it didn't do well in the box office mm-hmm. or why it disappeared and flew under the radar.
Yeah.
Not so critically acclaimed or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the thing is about this movie, I've never seen any of the Fast movies. Like, I saw the first Fast and the Furious.
How is that possible?
But I haven't seen, like, Fast 5 or Fast 6. I'm going to watch Fast 7 because Kurt Russell's in it.
Or
yeah.
What do they call them?
Well, now they're just, like, Fast 5, Fast 6.
Oh, Too Fast, Too Furious was the second one?
That was the second one, yeah. And then The Fast and the Furious was the fourth one.
Is that how they did it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I know that they do crazy shit like this where, like, we're going to hook our cars up to a plane and, like
yeah.
we're going to drag a tank across. Like, I know they do, like, stupid things like that.
It didn't start off that way.
I know.
The first one started off like, okay, this is
It like, was sort of legitimate. Like this, like a legitimate sort of racing
movie. Well, this one was a little bit more fantastical.
Yeah.
Than the first Need for, what is it, Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
But the Fast and Furious one started off like that first movie was fine.
Uh-huh.
And then they started getting crazy and out of control. Just like almost all sequels
uh-huh.
of The Matrix went way out of bounds. First one was amazing, then it just like got progressively crazier. And like, what?
Yeah.
All right, pull it in.
Mm-hmm.
They have not pulled it in yet for The Fast and Furious. They're still launching it out there. And now they have giant muscles to help launch it further with The Rock.
Oh, The Rock?
And his cocoa butter.
And Kurt Russell's going to be in this one, dude.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So I'm probably going to do like a 6-part marathon like that week.
Oh, okay. Watch them all?
Maybe we should watch Ooh. One of them to get ready for the 7th okay. one.
Yeah.
Which one's the most ridiculous one, 5 or 6?
Well, they get more progressively ridiculous.
So probably 6?
Yeah. Just like okay. The Die Hard, too. They got, like, right now, the Die Hard with to Russia from Love or whatever,
yeah.
that one was so, like, what the hell? Bruce, my boy.
Yeah.
You got so out of control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the latest one is probably the most ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But you do need to watch some of the first ones, because there is an overall story arc. That
yeah,
you need
to I know everything's
of.
Out of order. Like yeah, the actual timeline is
weird. Yeah, it's very weird.
So in this movie,
yeah.
it opens up with Michael Keaton. He's either hosting a radio show or a live
out.
Feed or a podcast. I don't know what, because people were calling in like it was a radio show.
Yeah.
Remember that guy kept calling in and he's like, hey, this is my goddamn show.
Yeah.
And my note, I put, he should have done the line from Batman, though. You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Fear me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the beginning part is there's a race at the very beginning,
uh-huh.
which I guess I got to open it up with a race, which was
yeah.
pretty cool looking as far mm-hmm. as how it looked and the stuff that they did. A lot of drifting in this movie, a lot of drifting.
Yeah.
But there was one part of the race that confused me. They showed a street sweeper for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and the way they showed it was kind of like a musical sting, like, oh, somebody's going to die because of that street sweeper.
Uh-huh.
But then nothing ever happened with it. It was like, all okay. right. Thanks for showing me that street sweeper guy.
Is this the race with the homeless guy? You're supposed to look out for that
yeah,
homeless guy.
Right.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they got this this guy in a plane, the Ludacris of this movie. he's in a Cessna just flying above the city, kind
of
like.
And they're in like a suburb of New York. It's Mount Sinai or Mount
yeah.
Sanac or something.
Sinai yeah. sounds right, something like that.
Yeah, so I guess. In a small town like that, there's not like a bunch of cops out, you know.
Right.
Hey, what's all this? Whenever I see these like souped up like Hondas, like in these race movies, I always think of their engine like,
yeah.
like locusts flying.
Right. Like a car in the spoke of a BMX bike or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's no cop in this town that's witnessing this.
Right.
Or no one's noticing that, hey, that plane's flying pretty low.
Right, yeah, exactly. And there's a couple things. The plane thing, the fuel in general, this movie is a big, huge concern of mine.
Yes.
I feel like flying a plane around in circles is going to be much more conspicuous
yeah.
than just maybe staking out the 3 cop cars in the town. Just have some guy follow those cops around and find out where they are. That's probably less impact as far
yeah.
as drawing attention to this plane circling this one area. What's happening in that area where the plane just keeps going in circles around it?
Yeah.
Again, fuel costs alone, I feel like it would be a lot less to just have a guy on a fucking moped
yeah.
Chase a cop around.
Yeah.
But The race happens, and the guy in the plane telling him, all right, turn left here, turn right here.
Yeah,
watch out for that.
I like that idea that he was a scout. Like, all right, in 3 seconds, you're going to go right. 3, 2, 1, and then would take off.
At first, I was upset by it because I thought, do you not have Google traffic or Google Maps on your phone to tell you when traffic's coming?
Yeah.
But then it was much more intricate. His role was, all right, turn left here, 3 seconds, because it's live. There's a car right there. Come around this embankment, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
So it's live Google Maps. Super accurate. But once the race finishes, Pinkman wins. Spoiler alert.
I think that was a given.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, he's gonna win. But he got super excited. Like he won the World Series or something. I thought he was supposed to be the best like ever. And did he think he wasn't gonna win? I feel like why the level of excitement that he had does not reflect what his reputation should be at this point.
Yeah,
that was my first thought. Like if you're already gonna be the best. And they kind of led up to that, like, oh, this guy's the best. He just needs the right car to be the best, whatever. But then he got so excited that he won. Like, well, maybe he's not the best then, if he was stressing out about this random guy.
Yeah, because he owns a auto shop.
Yeah.
But it's like they do custom builds, so that you bring in, like, your Mustang, and they'll, like, soup it up and add, like, a fin or whatever. And,
right,
like,
exhibit make it comes through, puts a fish tank in the back.
Yeah, there you go. It's that they're these kind of guys,
right?
And they're losing the business. Well, Jesse is. His dad died, and he left. It sounds like he left the business to him, but they can't afford the payments,
right?
So there was this banker. You know, I love bankers. These bankers were there breaking his balls. So he needed the 5,000 purse from this race to keep him afloat. And then he tells his crew, like, well, "What about next month?" They're like, "Oh, we'll figure it out." And then Dracula shows up. The guy from Dracula Untold.
Right, he shows up in this crazy fancy car to the beginning of
Mercedes.
The race. Yeah,
and they bring in the chick who's going to be in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, is that right?
His fiance, the one who used to be his ex in the movie. Yeah, Sarah pointed that out. My girlfriend.
Okay.
She goes, "Oh my god, she's going to be in 50 Shades of Grey. That's something I'm going to be forced to watch."
Oh no.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let's see how her acting is here. She was all right.
All right.
Yeah. So Jesse and her name was Anita. They used to date. And her little brother is in his racing crew. Like he's another racer who races along with him. And something happens where he had to leave and she went to Manhattan or something. Now she's with this guy. And Dracula's, was he like a pro driver? Like, was he like a professional driver who also built cars?
I feel like he was part of that town. He was part of that racing circuit. It was like him and Pinkman ran in the same circles as far as racing.
But then he left. Because now he's based out of Frisco.
Right. He turned pro. He started racing.
Okay. So he is like a Formula One guy or a NASCAR guy or something.
I'm pretty sure it was Indy, they said.
Okay. Indy.
Yeah. He became an Indy racer. He got out of the town, moved to New York and took
Anita
with him. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah, so he used to be from that area, and something happened, which they never explain.
Yes.
There's some sort of huge, like, anger and rivalry between Pinkman and Dracula, and there's no explanation as to why. Like, they're just they hate each other, they want to kill each other, and
at least one line of exposition where it's just like, you remember that time at the soda shop where you fucking that's all I needed to know. Now I know why I don't like each other.
Right, you cut my dad's brakes and killed him. That's why I pissed at you. So something to give us reason to really hate the guy at the beginning. Besides the fact that he's with your ex, you jealous prick.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
So after the race, Dracula meets them at the body shop, and he tells them, "I have a Mustang. I need it to be completed.
Right.
It's a Shelby Mustang that was designed by this guy Shelby. I don't know anything about cars. I guess this guy's like a big deal.
Yeah, Shelby is a big deal in the racing world as far as racing cars go. He's one of those bigger names in racing. Shelby convertibles are. I think the Unicorn in Gone in 60 Seconds is a Shelby.
Oh, okay.
The one Nick Cage is trying to steal.
I'm
pretty sure it was a Shelby. So I guess Ford was making on this car, he joined with the Shelby creator people. And
Dracula said his dad was friends with Shelby.
Right. No, but the car itself.
Oh yeah,
was a Ford Shelby compilation, and he got a hold of it because his dad knew Shelby or something. Yeah, but they never finished making the car. So this is one of those like rare. Super rare cars where it's the best of both worlds. It's half American, half European.
Yeah,
I believe. But it never got finished. Mm-hmm. Like they built the engine or something. They started building the engine. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like they had like sort of a frame built.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I need you to build this. Why should I help you?" And Dracula goes, "Well, this car's worth $2 million. I'll give you 25% of the sale."
Right.
And they're like, "All right," because he needs the money.
Right.
And then it it cuts and the thing's already built. And they
that was so
they introduce it with a 3D hologram.
Yeah.
I was like, that exists in this universe?
Well, these are super rich car buying people. Maybe they just throw money at stuff. And they can afford this crazy 3D stuff, which I can't imagine exists.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe at those higher levels, it maybe does.
So this blonde British chick is introduced, and she represents a guy who wants to buy it. And he wants to buy it for like less than $2 million. Like, he doesn't want to spend a lot of money.
Right.
But Jesse built the car to its max speed of 230.
Yeah.
And I like NASCAR. NASCAR, like, top speed is like 215,
okay,
220. So he's betting that this thing can get faster than a NASCAR.
Right.
So the sale's contingent on how fast they drive.
Well, before that happens, when you first meet this chick, she comes up and she's kind of
is that an engine I see?
What kind of car is that? That looks fancy. And she's like playing really stupid. It's 900 horsepower. Is that a lot? I don't understand horses. and then pop the engine open. She goes like, oh, and she rattles off exactly what's inside the engine, turns around. What? Because I'm a girl? I'm like, what? You were playing stupid. You were playing the part of a dumb chick.
Yeah.
Then you're offended when they think you're a dumb chick? That was like, come on.
Yeah.
You roped them in and then you got pissed at them for biting.
Mm-hmm.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
But
so they take it to the racetrack and he clocks in at 234.
Yeah.
And they sell it for 2.8 million.
Yeah. I think it was 2.7.
Somewhere around.
Yeah. Where Dracula sells them. Dracula first says the speed of the car tops out at 180. He comes in, no, 230. I'm like, what? No. Well, let me race it. Mm-hmm. You're never going to race that car. Cut to, he's racing the car.
Uh-huh.
He gets pissed off. The girl ends up buying it for 2.7. And then there's some more anger there, which is yet to be explained still.
Yes.
But, oh, by the way, it never gets explained.
Yeah.
I'm sure we mentioned that.
Uh-huh.
But then comes a proposition from Dracula to race.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, you think you're better racer than me? And I like is it Pete?
Yeah, Pete.
Pete, he's got a mouth on him, which is amazing. he just doesn't shut up about anything. He's always saying inappropriate things. Like, if he's talking to that chick all crazy and stupid, and at this point, like, so you think you're better race than me? Everybody knows he's better than you, all right? All right. So here comes the pride. Let's get out the measuring tape. Now Dracula says, all right, let's race. We'll race right now. And the winner, if you win, I'll give you the rest of the money, 75% so all 2.7 million goes to Pinkman. And if he loses, then he gives up his 25%.
And Pete is racing with him, so I'm guessing if Pete wins, he reps like Jesse, So I'm guessing that he's saying I'm better than both of you combined.
Hey, oh, interesting.
Why would they have Pete racing with him?
There's no reason.
Anyway,
for it.
They go back to his place and he goes.
Oh, I know why. Because it moves the plot along.
Yeah, that's why. That's why.
Yeah.
They have. I don't even know what kind of cars these were. They were like. They look like futuristic, like Demolition Man style cars.
Right. These come out of like Minority Report or something.
Yeah, yeah. They look like they're from the future.
Yeah. They go to Dracula's uncle's house to get the cars, and the garage is open, and there's three identical cars, quote unquote.
Red, white, and gray.
I think so.
Those were the colors.
Right.
Well, red's gonna come and play later.
Right. Yeah. There's a red, silver, and possibly yellow.
No.
Or white. White.
White.
That's right. It was white.
Dracula's in red because he drinks blood.
Right.
Jesse Pinkman's in... the colors don't matter. Jesse's in one and Pete's in one.
Right.
And he says there's only three of these that exist in the world. You don't like either of these two guys and you're going to let them race in like the rarest cars?
Right.
Oh, my God. Why?
Right.
Why?
Not to mention, who has three identical cars? What? If there are only three in existence, did he build them himself? Or how do you... He got some company to contract them out. I need three cars exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a weird thing to have. A weird request to make of anybody.
Yeah. And then it's held in your uncle's house?
Right.
You don't take it to Frisco with you?
Right. It's just hanging out. All right. Cool.
Yeah. All right, uncle. Here's my car. Don't touch them.
Right.
You're not allowed to drive them. And the keys? they were like little Dove soap bars that they flipped over and they pressed one button. It's like...
It looked like something from Star Trek where you use it to scan something also.
Yeah.
After Earth. Did you see After Earth?
No.
Okay, good. But there's
is that the Will Smith one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's these little things that they have that give them like food for the day or something.
Uh-huh.
Something stupid. It looked like that.
Okay.
That was anticlimactic.
Okay.
Just I want to say don't watch After Earth also.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway.
So they go out for their little joyride.
Yeah.
And I, the thing that tripped me out was they're driving these like very rare cars throughout just backwoods, you know, New York and
street
everything.
Street illegal cars, by the way.
Street illegal.
USA illegal.
And if you can outrun the cops, they're going to put an APB out for, hey, there's a futuristic looking car.
Right. We're being attacked by aliens.
Yeah. How are you going to get away from these cops? Like, hey, wait, it's not like you're racing in a Civic and you can maybe blend in. Like, oh, there's five Civics. I don't know which ones are.
Right. No, there's only three of these in the world.
Hey, doesn't Dracula own those three?
Yeah. Hey, interesting.
Maybe we should go see him.
Right.
So they race and Jesse's got a lead on him and they have to cross the bridge.
Well, the trailer pulls out and stops in the middle of the road for no apparent reason. I understand.
And they had a lot of dodging. Like, there were so many cars they had to dodge and avoid.
Right. I understand if the trailer's trying to churn, then yes, make your churn.
Uh-huh.
But it literally just stopped and cut off the entire lanes of the freeway.
Did they think this was like a video game level where, like, we got to throw objects at them?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
To, like, throw them off.
That's those barrels or something by a giant monkey.
Hey, should we have these banana peels that they could throw? No, that's the wrong game.
Right. No, throw Ninja Turtle shells.
Right. And I like these scenes. These scenes were really cool. The racing through the and out of traffic.
The car work was amazing in this movie. Very, very impressive.
Mm-hmm. And they were, I like that because they were, you could tell they were using the actual car. Like, there wasn't CGI. Like, these were actual cars with real guys driving.
There was only, I think, one time I thought CGI was happening. That's coming up right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe twice. Uh-huh. But there was, okay, so they're racing and the finish line is a bridge, like the end of the bridge.
The end of the bridge.
Right. And they finally get to the bridge and they're all three, like, one after another.
Uh-huh.
Pinkman's up front. Pete's right in the middle and Dracula's behind. And at this point, Pete's like, eh, fuck you. It's just like, I'm not gonna let you pass. You lost. It's a two-lane freeway that they're on.
Yeah.
Or on this side of the bridge. So Pinkman's, he won. It's over. The game,
he just has to go another, like, half a mile and he's there.
Right. Which in this car, I think would take like half a second.
2 seconds.
But, all right. It's a very long bridge. Dracula.
I never thought of that. He should have crossed that bridge so quick.
Yes. Yeah. They're going at, these topped out at 280, I think, or 320 or something crazy. Some ridiculous top speed. So that bridge should have been done and over. But no, didn't happen. So Dracula gets impatient. He gives Pete a love tap. I think one of those, the pit maneuver type of thing.
Yeah, they do it in NASCAR. You're just supposed to bump them enough to, like, throw them off where they wouldn't be able to control the car and you can overpass them.
Oh, is that right?
But because they're going at such high speeds, one little tap is you're done. You're dead. And that's what happens. His car flips over and it catches fire and it keeps flipping over.
Yeah.
It falls off the bridge.
Well, based on the speed that I understand the amount of flipping, that part was CGI for sure.
Yes.
When he tapped the car, the car churned, it turned into like a slight T-bone, and then because of the speed, he just picked up the car and launched it in the air like he was flipping a burger.
And this thing went high, dude.
Yeah.
Like, the camera went high. Oh, yeah. Like, holy shit.
Lots and lots of flips.
Yeah.
And lots of fire, instant fire, which I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah.
But I'm not a car guy. Maybe it's possible.
Maybe.
I doubt it. But the car's flipping, and then it slowly goes off the bridge, and Pinkman the whole time is watching this in his rearview mirror, which, I again, should be dangerous at these speeds.
Yes.
It should be looking straight ahead of you.
Because something can appear in half a second.
Right, exactly. And there's no reaction time here.
Yeah.
So Pinkman turns around to go back for his buddy because instantly... Oh, this is another thing. Pinkman did a good job in this movie as far as conveying emotion, I think. As soon as he saw the car thing, his face changed. It's like instantly you saw the effect it took on him instantly, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
So Pinkman... Awesome.
Yeah.
Good actor.
Yeah.
Much better than just playing a crack dude.
Yeah.
Or a meth guy. A lot of range. Yeah, so he goes back. The other guy, Dracula.
He put his foot up, hovering over the brake. So should I stop? And
right.
He was just like, and he just took off.
Yeah, he had a moment of pause. Like, should I? Let's see what, $2.2 million I'm throwing away if I. I'm going to go forward.
And I murdered someone, so I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I don't want to go back.
Right.
And he takes off. And then like Jesse turns around and he gets out of his car and it cuts and he's already on the bottom of the bridge where the water is.
Right.
I was like, how'd he get down there?
Yeah. There's a lot of time lapsing.
Yeah.
Right. He gets to the bottom of the bridge, the car's on fire, he pretty much just stands there and that Raphael move when he finds out Splinter's dead.
Yeah.
It's that type of thing. And
he gets arrested.
Yeah.
And he gets charged for breaking in to for stealing those cars.
Okay.
And they were saying, oh, no, the Dracula was with us. He goes, no, we got eyewitnesses saying that he wasn't there at the scene of the crime.
Right.
He was at a party or something. And I'm like, what? I go, yeah. Plus, these were reported stolen.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, so he gets what were the charges though? Because if
well, he served 2 years, so I'm guessing it's the breaking, entering, and stealing the car.
Okay, but there's also talk about manslaughter at some point.
Yeah.
So did he get? Was he charged for that? For
I don't think
him?
You want to do 2 years.
I was very confused by this.
Yeah.
But are they saying it's his fault? I mean, is
I think they're trying to get him to say it's his fault.
Right.
But they're not, but they can't prove it.
Right. But so as far as everybody's concerned, Pete's death is on Pinkman's shoulders.
Sort of. Okay. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Cause I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Cause I'm guessing what happened was they thought they were racing and then he lost control and he just flipped
right.
over.
Yeah. But either way though, I mean, even if he didn't directly bump him and kill him.
Yeah.
He died racing Pinkman. So it would be like, it's your fault.
Yeah. It's your
you
fault.
Did it. You did it. You didn't pull the trigger,
yeah.
But you killed him.
Yeah.
That should be the mentality mm-hmm. of people. That's what I would think. But nobody seems to think that about him at all throughout the entire movie,
mm-hmm.
which is a little disconcerting for me.
They get out. He gets out 2 years later. Ludacris picks him up, and right. they go back to the shop, which is all boarded up. Still has the name on it.
Right.
Waltz or whatever, Waltz Body Shop.
Yeah.
And Sarah, my girlfriend, owns a salon.
Okay.
And she said, oh, really? In 2 years, it's going to have the same stuff. Yep. The landowner didn't try to sell that. She goes, if I went to jail for 2 years and came back to my salon and it was boarded up, it wouldn't say Salon Giselle. Mm. It wouldn't even be boarded up. It would be a brand new salon.
Right, yeah. It was boarded up newspaper. There was a notice on the door that still said the bank
Sheriff's
was repossessed
Department.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it said, like, sheriff said you can't come in, but yeah. also said repossessed.
Yeah.
So is the sheriff and the bank, they work together? Like,
I'm telling you, dude, they control the world. Is that anchors?
All right. It's foreclosed on and stay out because the cops said so.
Yeah. Well, we have to sell this, officer.
Right.
Well, you can't go in. Well, I guess we're just going to leave it? Sure.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
That could be very, I would assume, like, mm-hmm. There's a bar rescue episode where they take a bar. It's like a bar that's by the highway. It's, uh-huh. it's a biker bar or a passerby bar.
Uh-huh.
What? Traveling? Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a roadhouse. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's a roadhouse type of thing. That would be a perfect location, I would assume, for a bar.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of real estate, they could have turned it into something else very easily. But
yeah.
No, just board it up.
Yeah.
So the bank loses money and refuses to make more money on it.
Yeah.
So let's just leave it. Yeah. I agree.
Banks not wanting to make money? Now, this does not exist
right.
in my world.
All right. Good call, sir.
So he wants to go in the Michael Keaton race.
Right.
He wants to go in his race, but you have to be invited. So I guess he knows I got to do some crazy driving in order to get his attention.
Right.
Because he has access to his network, but he's not invited to the race. Like, he can view his podcast or his show or whatever, but he's not invited. If this is a secret club where you can only be invited, mm-hmm. why are all these people, even the guys the bounty's different. Yeah, the bounty. Like, the guys put the bounty on.
This whole...
They have access to this network.
Michael Keaton, his whole role in this movie is a huge mystery.
Uh-huh.
They try to explain it a little bit. Oh, he used to be part of his sponsor people, and then he...
Yeah.
Then he disappeared. Or...
Oh, his family has money from the Industrial Revolution, and and he sponsored a couple races, and he bought cars, and
now he's this this guy sits on a cloud and tells people to race.
Yeah,
and they do. It's very weird because I assume that in this world uh-huh. there's in the racing community he's a big guy and his show is the thing to watch.
Yeah,
if you're that crazy about racing, then you know who this is and you tune into his show. It's like
If you own a bar, you watch Bar Rescue?
No, not that much.
Okay, it would be like if you...
I can't think of anything to compare it to. But he's Tom, like I was saying, from the... Not Facebook, MySpace.
Yeah.
Where he created this whole thing. Everybody knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my car space is what it is. It's pretty much what's happening. The Monarch space.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, so is he like broadcasting every single second of every single day?
I guess so.
It's very weird what's happening with this guy.
Yeah.
I can't explain
because you can phone in anytime you want. there's live coverage of different races. And,
right. At one point, the girl pushes a button inside the car and it connects to him right away.
Yeah.
Like, so was that even, that wasn't even called waiting? You just push the button, turn my mic on in here.
Well, speaking of which, Jesse needs a car.
Oh, yes. All right.
So he calls up that British guy who bought the Mustang he built 2 years ago.
Right.
Hey, that must have been an interesting phone call. Hey, remember me? I'm that guy you met 2 years ago, that one time, who's accused of stealing cars and murdering that guy. Right. I need to borrow your car for a race. Right. Thanks.
You told me one time you like my driving. I hope that erases everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
You got it.
Yeah. Here's your car.
Yeah. Oh, so, no, what's the incentive? I'll give you half of my winnings, which is going to be about $6 million.
Yeah. Now, I know we're jumping ahead a little.
Mm-hmm.
What is the grand prize the cars that are entered in the race?
Yeah. It's winner take all.
So pretty all much, of them.
Yeah.
They all get wrecked.
You get to keep your car. And,
the shell of these cars right. on the side of the road.
You get parts from all these other cars.
Yeah.
They'll all be in the salvage yard, but they're all yours.
Yeah. So he's going to give them half?
Yeah. Half of the winnings, which maybe half the cars, I guess.
Yeah.
So he tells the guy that, and by the way, this is the Shelby car.
Yes.
This is the Ford Shelby that he finished building.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much the Batmobile.
Yeah.
It has a TV screen with Wi-Fi access. Like this thing.
It's like a tablet.
She presses a button and they instantly upload video into his Google Drive. I'm like, how the fuck is that possible?
Well, it's a Monarch app is what it is.
Yeah.
They got an app for the Monarch network where they can see everything, upload pictures instantly, and receive messages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of the HUD. Oh, the HUD. That was pretty amazing. For the first half of the movie anyway, anytime they were racing, they showed like on the windshield the speed.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
That hologram speedometer. Yeah.
I don't know if that was in the cars or that was just like for our viewing pleasure.
It might have been. Maybe that's from the game.
Oh,
I never played the game.
You know
so
what?
That's
very possible.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Maybe that's a little homage to the to the gang.
But that didn't go through the whole movie though, which was I found a little upsetting. Because during the final race, it didn't have that. I would have liked to see what speeds they were going
at. Well, he was in a different car in the final race.
Yeah, but all the cars had him, though.
Oh, they did?
Even the truck. The truck that the guys were driving, that had it also.
Okay.
So I was like, that's pretty... I felt like it was just for us. I don't think they saw it. I think it was just so we know how fast they were going, which was I thought was pretty cool. So...
He has 45 hours to get from this little town in New York to somewhere in California. They don't even know it's San Francisco yet. They just have to get there.
The girl shows up with a car.
Uh-huh.
To quote unquote deliver it.
But she has to stay with the car and make sure nothing happens.
Right.
And she doesn't give a shit about what happens to the car because, like, fucking so many things happen to this car. And she's like, oh, I guess.
She's there to make sure the car stays safe.
Yeah.
There's a weird thing that she does. She comes to the car. When she drops it off, she goes to the trunk to get a bunch of clothes out.
Uh huh.
And then she goes to the passenger seat where she has a suitcase to put the clothes then in the suitcase. It's like, you're packing now?
Yeah.
That's not how you're supposed to pack. You don't throw things in the car and then come back and then pack your suitcase later.
Yeah.
But that was a weird scene. But yeah, she pretty much says, I got to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Pinkman and Ludacris, they have this conversation. Like, all right, well, we'll just get rid of her. We'll scare her away.
Yeah.
And then this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
This pretty awesome.
They're driving through residential areas and just like little, it's like a little town before they get on the highway.
No, they're driving on the freeway and then there's quote unquote traffic.
Yes.
Which doesn't really exist. They're just saying, oh, we need to find another way. Let's go to this town real quick.
And then,
boom,
the fucking airplane shows up again out of nowhere. And I'm like, this guy's going to follow him in that same plane. He has to land to get fuel just like them.
By the way, 45 hours to get from New York. To California.
Somewhere in California.
Right.
And California is a big state.
Yes. So. Now, I used to go to school in Phoenix for college, and once a month I would come back home, drive myself home. I used to do a lot of speeding because I hadn't learned that that was expensive yet.
Yeah.
And going about 70 miles an hour, or 80, sometimes 90, coming back means I have to stop every 2 hours to get gas in my Honda Accord.
Yeah.
These guys, this is a
have a 900
car.
Horsepower engine.
Yes. Now I know that if you have a V6 alone, that's a huge gas guzzler.
This thing has to be a V8.
Right. So based on the math I'm doing in my head, this car has to stop like every half hour to get gas.
And they're probably going top speed like 130.
I know.
150.
Yes.
So maybe every 15 minutes they gotta stop for gas.
This is unless the whole trunk is made of gas. Or the back seat, everything is just gas, which makes it heavier, which will make it burn more gas. This is an impossible thing. This is stupid. There's no way. 45 hours. I don't know how long it would take.
Yeah.
I know it takes about 7 hours to get up to Sacramento from here. So extrapolate that. Maybe 30 hours. That's counting not stopping. Maybe 40 hours. But all the gas stops alone. It's crazy.
Well, they sort of explain it later on. But, well, fuck it. We'll just say it. So this big-ass truck, which I'm sure burns more gas than this Shelby, is following them the whole way. And they are they're doing the thing from Cliffhanger. No, the thing from Air Force One. Where the plane lands up next to them. They got to fuel in air.
Right.
So the guy who they pick up in Detroit, which we'll get to.
Oh, that was so fun.
Yeah,
also.
So the guy they pick up in Detroit, he's hanging on the side, and he injects it as they're going.
Right.
And that's how they keep gas.
And then
then they stop at a gas station.
Right. Well, they split off from them already.
Yeah.
But this doesn't matter. The girl suddenly grows a giant pair of balls.
Mm-hmm.
She's in this car going, I'm assuming, 90 to 100 miles an hour, and she just gets out the car.
She's hanging out in Death Proof.
Right. Yes.
Hanging from the outside.
In order to help them refuel while moving. Like, this girl, she sells cars for a living.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly she's this adrenaline junkie that's just going to, okay, we got to get out the car. Let's do it. Gets out the window, crawls out there, and like, oh, that was out of character.
Yeah.
It was way out of character. Hot.
Uh-huh.
But way out of character.
Well, before that, let's go back a little. They got to go to Detroit for some reason. We don't know why. There was a guy in their crew who works in an office now.
Right.
Who they need him because I guess he can. They recruited him just to show him, hey, the car veers left. What do we do? Remember?
Right.
They call him in his office and they go outside here.
I guess he knows a lot about cars mechanically more than anybody else does.
Okay.
So he can just look at the car and be like, oh, the axle needs to be tightened two clicks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like it started in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
He's a savant. Mm-hmm. He's a mechanical savant. So this car, which they built, by the way, is leaning.
Yeah.
So did they fuck it up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe it got fucked. Oh, maybe it got fucked up from the grasshopper.
Oh.
They jump.
No, that didn't happen yet.
That didn't happen yet?
No, because the cop chased
R2. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. This is in Detroit, the grasshopper. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so they tell this guy, we need you. And he's like, fuck this job. And he starts taking off all his clothes.
Amazing.
And he goes in the elevator with this old lady. And he goes, I'm quitting. And she goes, I'm in accounting. He goes, it's working here. Doesn't like
your, doesn't make you, you're, yeah, feel make like you're you dying feel like
shit. Yeah. And she's like, yes. So they pick him up, and the cop tells him.
No, but it was the ultimate way to quit.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he realizes I'm leaving, he just starts undressing,
and he's
stripping off his clothes, walking down the hallway,
and he says he's doing it because he wants to be sure he'll never go back.
Right. But one of the things that are like I thought was even better than getting naked.
Uh-huh.
He grabs this chick that he I guess had a crush on.
Yeah,
and he just starts making out with her. I just wanted to do that, and then keeps walking, then gets completely nude walking around. And like that was an amazing way to quit. I loved it. It was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's one's like, I wish I could do that. I wish I had that kind of balls. But he's also a little insane. So
Jesse's in the Mustang revving the engine, and it draws the attention of a cop. And he's like, "All right, son, I'm going to need you to go around the corner. Let's talk for a minute."
Yeah.
And he just takes off, and he has like five cop cars on him. Like. And at first, I'm like, why the fuck are they doing this? And you find out they're doing this.
You see that he pushes record at one point. Before he starts taking off, he tells the girl, fix your hair. You're about to be famous.
And then Ludacris
stole a
news
chopper.
They're
not recording inside the car, though. They're not recording inside the car, so why does her hair need to be fixed?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And then Ludacris stole a news chopper. I don't know how he got that.
Yeah. He's got weird connections, this Ludacris guy.
And he's flying around and giving them directions and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Is like, you don't find out. Why until like in the middle of this? But in the beginning, I'm like, is he trying to get 5 stars in Grand Theft Auto? What the fuck's he doing?
Trying to get the tank.
Yeah, because you're going to be on the attention of every cop from Detroit to California
with a car with a one of a kind car
with a one of a kind car that goes faster than any other car on the road.
Yeah, it did seem a little crazy and stupid.
But you find out that they're doing this for a show. They want to show Michael Keaton that he's worthy enough to get invited to the race. So they record him doing this, and they do the grasshopper where he tells them, you got to go max speed, and he just flies over this hill to avoid traffic, to avoid the cops. And I put in my note, I go, shouldn't this chick be freaking out that he pretty much fucked up her boss's car?
Yeah.
Her job is to protect the car, escort the car, and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. Let's do it again.
I've seen enough Mythbusters to know that if you jump a car, when it lands, it is totaled.
Yeah.
There's no driving it away from that.
Yeah.
It's a, but this one magically,
yeah,
it lands in a way, it still jumps. You still see it hop like crazy.
And then it goes.
Yeah. It gets a good, like maybe 10 feet of air after the first bounce.
Yeah.
But keeps going fine, mm-hmm, unharmed.
Yeah.
Amazing. Maybe they built it that good. Maybe they're that good at mechanics.
Yeah. They're that good, dude.
Sure.
So while this is happening, they upload the video. They're watching it, mm-hmm, and Dracula's back in Frisco.
Right.
And that's, he sees his driving. He sees that he got invited. So he issues a bounty.
Right.
He goes, I'm going to give you, they've only made three of these Lamborghinis in the world, and I own one. If anyone can stop him from coming to this race, you keep this Lamborghini.
Right.
This is very important to keep in mind later on.
Yes.
This is a Lamborghini.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, what happens? Oh, his chick, Anita, his fiance, mm-hmm, Dracula's fiance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
She goes into his files or something, and she discovers that.
She pushes a button on the keyboard that says, show me the stolen car.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, would you like to see the inventory held in this secret unit?
It's like within three clicks, she finds a secret that this guy should be holding very, very dear.
Yeah.
Because this pretty much implicates him for murder.
Yeah, for murdering her brother.
Yes, her little brother. But no, it's like on the desktop or something. it was way too easy to find. It's like she knew exactly where to look. And here's another thing that happens. While they're racing in the car, the girl calls the monarch and tells him, like, hey, everybody knows what really happened. It was Dino that killed the brother.
Oh, that's right. That's why Anita's watching the same live feed on her computer.
Everybody's watching this.
Yes.
I don't know why she's watching. She's not a racer.
Yeah.
But she has it on her desktop also.
Yeah.
So she calls in and says, hey, I'm the blonde in the car. fuck you, type of thing. And everybody should look
into
this.
He's obviously innocent if he's driving, if he's breaking his parole to prove something.
Yeah.
So then that Anita chick's like, let's see.
But right before that, before she calls in, Pinkman also says, or she tells Pinkman, you need to call in and defend yourself.
Yeah.
And he says, everybody knows my story already. And then she calls in and says what she says.
Yeah.
But if everybody knows his story already, so everyone already thinks Dino's the killer, or that they think that's his version of it?
I don't know.
And then this is the first time the girlfriend goes to investigate.
Yeah.
But if everybody knows the story, then this should have already been found out then.
Yeah.
Just suddenly a blonde chick appears on the phone. Now I want to investigate my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then click on the desktop banner that says, click on me to find out I killed your brother.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Oh, that was her.
Right.
So she finds it way too quick. And first time investigating, I don't understand. Because, again, everybody knows the story. Then everybody should know this.
Yeah.
Everybody that's close to the, especially the, if this is an explanation for why your brother died, you look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, it's been 2 years. It's been two years just now.
What I find crazy is Jesse drove this like super secret car. Mm-hmm. It's one of the rarest cars in the world.
Right.
And then Pete died in one. Her little brother died in one.
Right.
Wouldn't she think, hey, you're the only guy in town who could maybe have access to these cars?
Right. But they reported stolen.
I know.
But even still,
yeah,
your cars were stolen.
Yeah.
The uncle. It goes back to the uncle. Uh-huh. The uncle reports the car stolen, and there's no connection there.
Mm-hmm.
So he stole your uncle's car because of some vendetta, which we don't know about. It doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
All right.
They're driving. They go to the gas station. A cop sees them, and
get away. Did you recognize the cop?
No. Is he someone I should know?
I feel like he is. He looked very familiar to me. As a guy.
And he had a lot of screen time. He had a lot of lines.
Yeah. I've seen him from something, and it has been bothering me.
Okay.
But, all right.
So they're somewhere in Arizona or the desert. Yeah, it looks like Arizona.
Could be.
And then they get rammed by these guys who are trying to collect the bounty.
Yep.
And they're trying to be run off the road. Was there bounty to kill them or just to stop them?
To stop them. Okay. To stop them from entering
They were shooting at them with shotguns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Are they trying to kill them?
Which car do you think is more expensive? the one of three, that one, or the one of one car that they're driving? maybe steal that car.
Yeah.
And maybe not fuck it up.
Yeah.
But no.
They try to run them off the road. They try to, I don't know, you're leading them up a road where there's no like guardrails.
Well, but before they get off on that road, there's a car behind them shooting at them.
Uh-huh.
And then there's two cars coming at them. One's a tricked out Hummer and one's looks like could be from Jurassic Park type of car. like one of those weird Jeeps.
Yeah.
And the girl from 1,000 yards away sees the Hummer and says, mm-hmm. I'm going to aim for the Hummer because it's tricked out. He's got a small dick.
Mm-hmm. Because he's compensating for something.
Yeah. She said, and she puts up the pinky because he's compensating.
Uh-huh.
But from 1,000, she knows, oh, that's a mod kit on a SUV.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how she could see that from so far away, but she did. And so she aims right for it. The Hummer hits the wall. It gets scared.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that car blows up. And then they go off-road to some crazy, I don't know, weird off-roading thing.
Oh, I forgot to mention, right before the bounty hunters try to track him off the road, she's excited because she's driving the car. She's like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Didn't you drive the car to him in New York? Right. You've driven this fucking car before.
Yeah, but not at probably 180 miles an hour on the freeway, possibly. Yeah.
So they try to ride him off the road, and then Ludacris stole an army chopper. That had to. You must have rolled your eyes when you saw "army" written on the side.
Yeah, I I didn't think it was going to be Ludacris. I thought they're because this guy is. He destroyed a couple cop cars back in Detroit.
Yeah,
and the huge speed. Now they found the car, so that I thought they were just going
to call in the National Guard to stop these guys.
I was like, "Are you kidding? The army? You getting the army involved in this bullshit?" And then you find out, no, it's Ludacris. Like, how crazy. But then the guy that he's piloting with calls him Lieutenant.
Yeah.
Ludacris.
Mm-hmm.
So he has.
So he's in on it.
Again, there's some sort of weird connection that he has in the army.
Uh-huh.
And then they tell him to report back to base, and he's put in, like.
He's like, this flight plan was not on your manifest, Lieutenant.
Right. Yeah. So is he in the army? Is he ex-army? He served a couple tours. He's still got access to things.
I don't know.
Like, there's nothing gets explained to this guy. No. He's there for comic relief. I get that. And he's funny. But we need – usually we complain about too much exposition. This one did not have enough.
Yeah.
we needed a lot more exposition to find out what the hell is happening.
Uh-huh. So he flies over him and he gives him like cables and it goes through the window, through the passenger and the driver's side of the window, and they connect.
Okay.
So they go drive, 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 and they drive off the canyon, but he's carrying him – with the chopper.
Yeah. But the way they hook it up, though.
Yeah.
The two chains come down.
Uh-huh.
They bring them in through the passenger side and the driver's side and then connect them in the middle just to each other.
But there's nothing like a latch.
There are two hooks that are hooked together.
Yeah. Couldn't they unhook?
They could, but based on that tension, it wouldn't.
Okay.
But based on that tension, I feel like we rip the roof straight off.
That's true.
This is not a death-proof car. They haven't put a steel cage in there.
That's true.
It would have just ripped it right off.
Uh-huh.
It's aluminum or something. Something very lightweight metal.
Yeah, that's why it goes so fast.
Yes. When I saw the hooks coming down, I'm like, bullshit. There's going to be some sort of hook to the frame of the body of the car, strategically placed just in case it needs to get hoisted in the air.
Mm-hmm.
No, they just put it through the fucking roof, which it would have gone straight off.
Yeah.
Unless this car is made of titanium or something crazy, making it heavier to make him stop every 10 minutes for gas. That would have been the turn off moment of the movie.
Okay.
Like everything else up to this point is like, all right, a little weird, a little crazy, but that, like, fuck off. Impossible.
Yeah. They land and then they meet up with their crew and they take off. And we find out that San Francisco is where the race is.
Okay.
Check in at this hotel to get the exact location.
By the way, the cop, he was in Riddick. He was a bounty hunter, Nick Chinlund.
Okay.
He was the guy that was turning in Riddick at one point.
Oh,
The head bounty hunter guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I recognize him from. I was from Training Day in Con Air. He was a pilot in Con Air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is he in Training Day? What's his name in Training Day?
Probably one of the cops. I'll look it up.
Yeah, okay. So
also Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Willis mentioned.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Well, you already did earlier with Die Hard.
Oh, that's
how
true.
It got more ridiculous.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
So they make it to Frisco at this luxury hotel, and Dracula's shocked to see Pinkman there. And he checks in, and he tells him, hey, we're on that race. He goes, you didn't go back for Pete. Mm-hmm. When we're that race, I'm not going back either.
Right.
Implying, like, I'm going to fuck you up
on
that
track. Foreshadowing. Your car's going to flip somehow, and I'm going to leave you to die.
Yeah.
By the way, I forgot to mention one thing also. Speaking of that guy, that cop, that was actually in Riddick and Tears of the Sun, the way the cop gets onto him, there's a chase scene, a little bit of a through the convenience store.
Uh-huh.
And the way that they get away is Pinkman ties a chain to the axle, the back axle of the car, So when it takes off, the whole back tires come off. Also in Mythbusters, impossible.
Oh, really?
It cannot be done.
They did that in Gone in 60 Seconds, too, to Master P's car.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And because there was a movie way back in the day where they did that to a cop car,
mm-hmm.
and they redid it on Mythbusters, and it can't happen.
Even if...
The way that those tires came off wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
The car would be immobilized, but not like that.
Oh, it would just rip off all the tires?
Right. Like, okay. Super clean, like it was a rib off a bone. Okay. That's not how it would work. But so I saw that again, myth busted. All right.
Well, in this world.
I guess.
Is this movie slowly leaving your world?
It, little by little,
and entering
it is.
A video game world?
Once the copter picked up the car, it left my world. The helicopter flew that movie right into another world.
It got transported to a video game world?
Right. But for the most of it is my world, but there's parts that are way... But I'll forgive it because I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I'm having fun watching it.
Yeah, this was a fun... Like, even though it's ridiculous...
So dumb.
It was... Yeah. It's fun.
It was real fun.
Yeah. Oh, Sarah goes, is this movie based on a video game, right? I said, yeah. It was the chase scene through the liquor store where she's dropping all the, like, things to get in the cop's way. She goes, is that a level in the game? I go, no, babe. It's just a racing game. She goes, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this one came to shock. This was like the crash and grudge match.
Okay.
Where Stallone got crashed
before
out of nowhere.
The crash, I want to give Pinkman some more praise.
Uh-huh.
That scene, after he tells the guy, I'm not going to come back for you. He goes back to the car and he's sitting there and he's just fuming. And he's even his freaking jaw is shaking. Mm-hmm. I've felt that, not that much rage, but I understand. He gave a very well performance as far as the feeling of that character at that moment. I was pissed. I was sitting there like, oh, you mother. Oh. I was as mad as he was just because... I think I like Pinkman too much. What I'm learning here.
Uh huh.
Mm. All right. Moving on.
So they're leaving the hotel and then bam, they get hit by a 18 wheeler truck and it's driven by Dracula's guy, his mechanic or something.
Yeah, somebody in the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're flipped over and they leave. The truck picks them up. Their crew. Mm-hmm. Their crew picks them up. So he doesn't have a car anymore.
Yeah. Well, the girl tells him, get out of here before the cops get here.
Uh huh.
It looks like he's going to leave, but then comes back and saves her.
And they drop her off at the hospital.
Right.
And since they're in Frisco, they meet Anita. Jesse Pinkman meets Anita, and she tells him, you know,
yeah,
I believe you or something.
Yeah, why are you still with that guy? Turns out I'm not.
Yeah.
Here's the ring.
Here's the ring back.
I'm going to divorce him right now or whatever.
Yeah, and she tells him the location of the red car that killed her brother.
He calls her to tell her I need a car.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the main point of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, oh, here's a car. And oh, here's the ring as well. So have they not been in contact this entire time?
I guess not.
Because I was thinking there's no contact because, mm-hmm. like I was saying, in some way he's responsible for her brother's death.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some kind of bad feelings there.
But then when she sees that this red car is in his storage.
Yeah. So she kind of like, all right, maybe he's
was telling the truth.
But in Pinkman's phone, she's still as one of the favorites. I don't know if you caught that part of it. I'm like, oh, so they haven't talked in 2 years, but still on the favorites.
But you might have killed my brother, but I'm still keeping you in my favorites.
Right, yeah. So nice. Yes, he gets a hold of the red car, and epic moment. When he gets the car, he's driving to the race now. And when he gets to the car, the car pulls up, and instantly, I think Batman recognizes, like, hey, that's the third car. Maybe there's some proof here. The cops are going to have some fun with that.
Uh-huh.
He gets out of the car and he walks up to the to Dracula
and he throws the fucking ring in his lap.
So fucking so epic. I got a huge surge of adrenaline when that happened.
Yeah,
just knock on the window. Hey, recognize that car? Yeah, I think the cops recognize it too. Boom, here's your ring. Plus your wife's gone. Fuck you.
Yeah,
it's like yes, redemption.
Okay, now before this epic race starts, I have an issue with this.
Okay,
his bounty was this Lamborghini.
Right.
The same Lamborghini he's racing in this race.
Right.
Let's assume the bounty hunter's got that car stopped.
Right.
What the fuck was he going to race in?
Right, exactly.
Maybe it's, you can have this Lamborghini once I win the race.
Okay.
You can have it after I win.
But as a guy,
yeah,
knowing the history of these races, uh-huh, I would be like, no.
No.
No. Give me this car now.
Yes.
Because I don't know what kind of condition it's going to be in.
These bounty hunters were also listening in on the podcast or whatever.
Yeah, right. This Monarch universe.
Yes.
And this Monarch guy, he's not even there. He's still in his house somewhere.
Yeah, he's broadcasting. Is he in the lighthouse?
I feel like he is. Too. I had that feeling, that vibe. Because
mm-hmm.
the race ends at a lighthouse, and there's some weird shots of the lighthouse.
Yeah.
and maybe some sort of symbolism to finding Pinkman finding his light at the end of the whatever, finding his way home. Maybe that maybe that's why they were showing it. But I also felt like maybe that's where Batman's hanging out.
Yeah, and he's being recorded by himself.
Yeah,
like he doesn't make an interaction. Remember that trivia I gave you about Bruce Willis and the Planet Terror, where they brought him in for one day just to do shots, and you never see him in a shot with anyone in the movie. I think they did the same thing with Michael Keaton. I think he was just there for a day.
Okay,
and just all right, we're gonna shoot you, and then you're done for the day. I think that's what happened.
Is it possible he got added like last second, so that's why he wasn't in any trailers? Like they're trying to find someone to fill that role.
Well, no, I think that's a pretty big part. Like he's the reason why this story happens.
Yeah, no, but as far as finding an actor to play that part.
Oh. Maybe.
Maybe there's like a bunch of, they were trying to find somebody good enough and they're like, all right, we'll leave that part till the end.
Yeah.
We'll make sure all of his scenes are by himself so we can substitute it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So his race begins.
Yep.
And they're driving through Frisco and immediately the cops, there's a chopper over them like, oh, we got illegal street racers. And this is so ridiculous. There's a Bugatti, there's a Lamborghini, there's a Ferrari.
These are all really high-end cars.
These are like high-end cars. You said they're street illegal cars.
The three from the uncle, those were street illegal. Yeah. These, I assume, also.
Okay.
Well, if the ones from the uncle are like USA illegal, I think. They're not even supposed to be in the country.
Okay.
But the other ones, I would assume they are probably also not street legal.
Okay.
But I don't know.
And this race happens, and one by one, these cars are getting picked off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so if you watch the Monarch show and you know that shit like this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to compete? Because your purse is tied into how many guys finish the race unscathed.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. But they're still like clipping each other, hitting each other's cars, trying to flip them and get them out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to win, but they're going to destroy all their winnings at the same time.
Yeah.
But I would assume a certain level of pride, I guess, that goes into it as well. Because
mm-hmm.
this is an elite group already.
Yeah.
Chances are they don't need the money.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing it because they're rich, pretentious douchebags.
Yeah.
Like Dracula.
And one thing I found interesting was the race started, the location.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3, 2, 1, go, and these fireworks went off.
Yeah.
But when they get to the finish line, when you cross the finish line,
yeah.
When the cops be like, what the fuck? Shouldn't we investigate this house that has a finish line? But whatever.
I didn't think about that. Well, they look inconspicuous enough, those finish line poles.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so the race is happening, and cars are exploding. Mm-hmm. They're flying all over the place,
and it's being broadcasted live on his network.
Kind of.
He has trackers.
Yeah,
it's like the Mario Kart where you could see the cars around.
Yeah. And everybody's glued to this Mario Kart race thing.
Yeah,
and that seemed like a weird thing.
And
it was like
Ludacris. And Ludacris is in the army jail.
Yeah,
and he has access to an iPad. Like, yo, girl, give me an iPad. She's just standing there. I'm like, I don't think they
this
do
guy,
that.
He must have been general or something. The way the connections, the pull that he has.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make it. That was so weird.
Yeah.
Also, the chick in the hospital asked for a laptop from the nurse.
Oh, do you have a laptop I can borrow? Oh,
sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What? My mom was at the hospital. Her appendix burst.
Yeah.
And she was in the hospital for one night.
Yeah.
She didn't get a
You're
laptop.
Lucky to get a TV on the wall.
Yeah.
A tube TV on the wall.
Yes.
Not a flat screen. Yeah. No, they pulled in a laptop for her. Yeah. Maybe
and
she's British.
That's assuming there's free Wi-Fi in a hospital.
Right. Yeah. Again. Yeah.
We're assuming that that's the case.
Right.
These magical hospitals in San Francisco.
Yeah, so these guys are racing around, destroying cop cars also at the same time.
Yeah, because the cops are doing everything they can to try to stop them. Like, they're doing these moves, trying to bump them off the road.
Yeah.
They said they're going too fast so the spikes won't work.
Right.
I like the thing the cop did in the forest where he had his baton on the gas.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, they're coming in 3, 2, 1, and he let it go, and the car just took off.
Right. Are they trying to save lives? Or stop the race, because you're going to kill a dude. Yeah. That's going to kill somebody.
Uh-huh.
They're going 200 miles an hour minimum, I would assume.
Yeah.
You're just going to throw a car at them.
Uh-huh. I was like, what?
But the car didn't even get that fucked up.
Yeah.
The cop car, he could have been in the car. He didn't even put the baton in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And one car gets, like, completely flipped over. The other one runs into, like, an 18-wheeler. Like, these guys are going to fuck up, dude.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
And again, well, I guess... Because it's such a rare race, like, part of you is like, oh, this is pretty scary, but if I win this, I'm the best fucking racer in the world.
Right. But I still have issue. Go back to the way that everyone's watching this race. Uh-huh. Like you said, it's just a Mario Kart thing.
Yeah, it's just that tracker.
It's a line with dots saying, these are the dots. Everyone's looking. as things are happening, uh-huh. it cuts back to them watching. They're like, yeah! Like, what? The dot moved a little bit more that way? You don't know what happened. Nobody knows. Yeah. There's no real commentary happening. There's no cameras.
Well, he's giving commentary.
Yeah, but how does he see this?
Exactly.
There's no cameras in the cars, are there?
No.
Everyone's getting excited about dots. They might as well watch fucking Pong. the paddle. The dot I missed. The dot disappeared. It must have exploded.
Yeah. And then so the column to the left just has like the first, second, third. And everyone that crashed it says DNF, did not finish. Oh, if I'm just watching dots, I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Like, why is it a do not fin- did not finish?
And why is Batman so excited about it? He's also watching the dots. Like, ah! And his face is on the screen also as he's commentating mm-hmm. about it. And he's getting excited, like, oh, that was so exciting. You did not see it.
Yes.
We saw it as viewers. Uh-huh. You did not. Uh-huh. Nobody saw it. Why? Uh-huh. Calm down.
Yeah.
Everybody calm down. They're dots. You're cheering uh-huh. about dots.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's down to these two.
Yeah.
Dracula, Jesse Pinkman. And he's on him. And it looks like he's going to bump him like what he did to Pete. And he does some move where he goes right.
Right.
And then he loses control and he spins.
Yeah.
Out of control and he flips. Yep. Not as much as Pete.
No.
He just flips a couple times. And then Jesse stops, and everyone's like, what are you doing? Right. Like, everyone was watching the race. What are you doing? And he goes back, and he gets him out of the car right before the Lamborghini explodes.
Yeah.
And he brings him, and he punches him in the face. He goes, that's for Pete.
Right.
And he leaves him there.
What should have been for Pete is not getting him out of the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
A punch's not equal to death in my mind. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. So then he finally finishes the race and the fireworks go off and the cops are like, get out of the car. And this I found strange. Michael Keaton goes, oh, we got this coming across the wire. That red car he's in has been implicated to Pete's death. Okay. That death happened in a small town in New York.
Uh-huh.
These are San Francisco cops.
Right.
All they know is that there's a bunch of expensive ass cars doing some illegal street racing.
Mm-hmm.
When the fuck did that come across their radar that, like, hey, remember that car that blew up in New York in that little town? We got it.
Yeah. Not to mention also that these cars were reported stolen.
Yes.
So even if they were his, uh-huh. how could they weren't in his possession, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But they weren't even his. They were his uncle's.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, all right, we found out they were Dracula's cars.
Yeah.
No, they were his uncle's cars.
And there's something else I thought of too. When they get this red car from the warehouse,
You
see the damage on the front.
Yeah.
If that's evidence that could implicate you, why wouldn't you get the car fixed? You're this badass racing guy, right?
Right.
You have a whole team of guys who work for you. One guy who's willing to kill.
Yes.
In an 18-wheeler.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you just have homeboy say, hey, I killed a guy in this. Is there any way you can patch this up?
Right.
Thanks. Then you stick it in the warehouse and be like, oh, this is the third car that exists in the world. And, you know, I don't know what happened to it.
And they asked the question. The chick or somebody asked the question like, oh, if this is such a big deal, why keep it?
Yeah.
And the way they explain it is, I don't know. Some people are cocky.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay. Yeah. And
thank you for that information.
If you already know that there's a chance your car get fucked up in the race, the evidence goes with it in this race.
That's what I thought you were going for.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even think about the whole getting it just fixed.
Yeah.
But that was evidence, but now it's a bunch of other evidence from all the other cars that just fucked up. Now it's evidence to implicate you.
Yeah.
Because you fucked up the car, all these scratches, who's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it
got silly at the end.
It did get real silly. But it's like they just needed... They wanted to make a race movie.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I had to thought
of,
I think.
Okay. All right. So this is what happened. So some producer went to a studio exec and was like, all right, you know that video game, Need for Speed? I want to make that into a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I like that game. Like, what's the story?
Ooh, we'll get back to you. But here's the thing. You know how big Breaking Bad was?
We got Pinkman.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
Green
Pinkman, video game. Go for it.
Yeah.
Give me the script later. And he never got the script.
Yeah. So I also think that if I would see fireworks, I would think as a cop, oh, this must be a finish line to this race.
Okay.
Let's check this house and that lighthouse out.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see if someone's here.
Assuming that
guy's
there.
If he's trying to meet someone.
Right. Why? If this is being broadcast.
Knock, knock, knock. Excuse me, sir. These racers were trying to go to your house and you have fireworks for when they cross that line. Right. Can we ask you a couple questions?
Right. I'm Batman. Batman.
Yeah.
But again, this guy, he's the real villain, I think, in this whole thing. He needs to be tracked down, which should be very easy if he's broadcasting his feed everywhere. Uh-huh. There's a way to pinpoint
Yeah.
Unless you're like got all kinds of crazy proxies and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it would be easier to find this guy than it. Just like, we'll let Dracula take the fall. And that's it. This racing community must be very like was a Band of Thieves or whatever, honor amongst pirates or whatever you call
honor
it.
Amongst thieves.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Yeah,
that whole thing. Everybody seemed to know a lot about things that happened. So I'm assuming a lot of people already knew that Dino was a killer. A lot of people know where this Batman villain guy is, but nobody's saying anything about it.
Uh-huh.
So it's I know nothing about racing. I can't imagine that the community is that tight, but maybe it is. I imagine it's more of a cutthroat, fuck you and your car.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut your brake line so I can win. That's how I see it. But maybe there's some sort of crazy honor.
Yeah. So you find out that he served 6 months in jail for illegal street racing.
Yeah. 178 days, which is a weird number.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do the math in my head real quickly. Is that half a year? No, 3 months? 2 months?
Yeah. Six months. We'll just round up.
Very good.
And the blonde British chick picks him up.
Yeah.
And they drive off in the sunset.
Yep.
You left out a pretty key plot point. Your boss's car is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to answer for that?
Yeah. And the car that he won the race in wasn't even his.
Yeah.
So
it's a murder weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's evidence at a trial.
So what did he win? What did he get? Although the cars are destroyed, the promise, I'll give you half of my winnings, half of nothing is nothing.
Yes.
Not to mention the collateral, also gone. So sorry.
Yeah.
You're out $7 million, my buddy.
Uh-huh.
So, again, exposition, please.
Yes.
Where's the exposition? I need to know what happened.
Yeah. And that's the movie.
Yeah.
It's Need for Speed.
Fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie. I kind of want to watch the Fast 5, Fast 6 movies if they're like this ridiculous.
Those are more – they have a much better story.
Okay.
At least.
Okay.
I'll give it that. I enjoy the story of it. Some of it's a little weird, but for it's fun. It's this kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much racing as this one had in it, I feel like. The Fast and Furious ones are lighter with the racing.
Yeah.
But –
it's more action and plot and
right, yeah,
and the rock being oiled up,
right?
Okay,
right.
So that was our opinion on the movie. Like I said at the top of the show, we have lots of them, but we don't have any credentials. Now we're going to hear from people who actually have credentials. So Adam, do you want to hear from the critics, the good reviews or the bad reviews?
Let's start with the good.
Okay, Stephen Ree of the Philadelphia Inquirer said, "It's the cars and the mega horse-powered action that matters most." With its driver POV spinouts, wrong-way chases, and multi-lane median jumps, the movie is a roaring revel of an automotive fantasy.
Yeah.
Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune said, "When the actors are in cars, the movie's fun. When they get out to argue or seethe, it's uh-oh time. Happily, director Scott Wow comes out of the stunt world himself, and there's a refreshing emphasis on actual, theoretically dangerous stunt driving over digital absurdities."
That was positive?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Bad reviews. Tim Roby of The Telegraph says, "The racing scenes are its one hope of reclaiming your attention, but there aren't nearly enough of them to justify a killing duration."
What? No, that was like mostly racing.
Yeah.
I feel like at least over half the movie was racing.
Mm-hmm. Amy Nicholson of The Village Voice said, "Scott Wow's moronic flick has multiple personalities. It's the Sybil of street racing with a script that doesn't feel so much typed as button mashed."
Okay. Well, the script could have used work, but...
it could have used exposition.
Yeah.
That's kind of key in most stories.
Yes.
Peter Trevor's Rolling Stone says...
maybe they hear all our notes about too much exposition. They're like, let's just take it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's our fault.
Peter Trevor's of Rolling Stone says, "There's nothing to distract you from a plot so tired, there are tire tracks from other racing movies all over it."
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parallels between this and Fast and Furious.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think Pete would be I think they called him Rabbit in Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
The same, one of the guys that died early on. Oh, okay. Like, oh, we got to avenge him. Type
and
of
then
thing.
Ludacris. There was a Ludacris character.
Ludacris, right.
I think Michael Keaton's character is going to be like what Kurt Russell will be in this one. Like a guy who organizes like a job for him.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what he's going to be.
Okay. Yeah, that was also in other Fast and Furious movies, too. That was a figurehead. You race here and do this.
Okay.
Because I said so.
Rotten Tomatoes is the part of the show where I make Adam, in this case, guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes. The scoring system, or our scoring system for Rotten Tomatoes, works like this. 0 to 59 is rotten. 60 to 84 is fresh. 85 and above is certified fresh. So, Would you want to guess the critics or the audience first?
Critics.
So the tomato meter.
Yeah. Tomatometer, as I like to call it, mm-hmm. just because I'm fancy. Because it disappeared so quickly, I'm assuming people didn't like it that much. Mm-hmm. I'll go... I want it to be fresh, because I think it's fresh. I'll go 61%.
22% from the critics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it really, really bad.
Yeah.
But they don't count as fun as a good movie. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And the audience.
Audience, hopefully, is better. I hope, but they couldn't have enjoyed it because it disappeared so quickly.
Yeah.
Based on the 22%, holy crap. The audience will give it a 42.
59%. It was 1% away from being fresh. Yeah.
But that could change, though, right?
Yeah. It constantly fluctuates. The more people who leave good reviews of it, the higher the tomato score.
All right, everybody gives a good review right now. Let's get to 60 at least. At least 60. Yeah. Please.
I found some trivia for this movie.
All right.
The police helicopters seen numerous times are actually the helicopters used for aerial shots, with the camera rig removed in post-production. This did not end up being cheaper. This did not only end up being cheaper than renting two helicopters, but it also made storing the helicopters on the ground easier, an important point in the commonly used rural locations.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart.
The title of this franchise comes from a famous line in Top Gun.
Whoa. Franchise?
I think they wanted to make this into a franchise.
Okay. So we can expect more Penguin? Is that what's happening?
Maybe it's they're referencing the game.
Okay.
The title of this franchise comes from a famous line in Top Gun. I feel the need for speed.
All right.
The pilot's codename Maverick is another allusion to the same.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the ludicrous guy was like, call me Maverick.
Yeah. Instead of, they call him Liar One.
Uh huh.
Yeah. That was fun. They had good banter, I think, between all of them.
Yeah. A majority of the car stunts in the film were done practically using car shells with hardly any visual effects used. The body shell for the Cohen's Gig, a $4.6 million supercar, cost roughly $300,000.
Mm.
So it looks like they used the shell of it over another, like a Civic or something.
A Civic?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Like maybe they just took like this shell,
right?
And they just placed it over the
chassis.
There you go.
Chassis.
I don't know cars.
Yeah.
Okay. This one. I don't know if you're ready for this.
Uh-oh.
One of the film's executive producers, Steven Spielberg, was binge watching Breaking Bad, and decided along with the director that Aaron Paul shouldn't play the villain. But the lead instead.
So he was going to be Dracula?
Looks like it. Aaron Paul said during an interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live in 2000.
He could do that role too, though.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Steven Spielberg executive produced this. That's interesting.
Wait, what? He couldn't have said, hey, let's fix this movie a little bit. Let's put some exposition in there. Let's make it a real movie. You know, like the ones I make?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So the next...
Is he credited?
I don't know. Let's IMDb him.
Yeah.
IMDb him.
Yeah.
And look up the producer list.
All right.
Because I got this trivia from IMDb, so I don't know how reliable this would be.
All right.
Okay. Facts. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films, not facts.
No.
There should be stats.
He's not on the producer list.
Okay. I don't know where the fuck IMDb got that from.
Hmm.
Stats. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released this year so we can get a feel of how well financially it helped to its peers. So this movie came out March of this year.
Oh, this is going to be sad.
So the budget for this movie, Adam, $66 million. $66 million. I'm guessing it's for the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It has to be.
Do you want to guess how much money this movie grossed?
Oh, no. This is going to make me sad.
I think it might.
30 million?
That's the total for the worldwide? Yeah,
for everything.
The total box office for this movie is $203.2 million.
What?
The U.S., it grossed $43.5 million.
Ooh.
Overseas, it grossed $159.7 million.
Wow.
Bringing its combined total to $203 million.
Oh,
so this could be a franchise because it made so much money overseas.
Because these are all European cars.
Yep. And you got the Asians in the video games and stuff, and they're all into cars too.
Oh, true, yeah. Need for Speed is big.
When I was looking this up for this, I was like, this movie made that much money? Holy shit.
But not here, though.
Not here.
Here it flopped.
But Hollywood, all they care about is foreign box office now.
Wow.
Right?
Alrighty.
This movie debuted in third place on March 14th, 2014, and it grossed $17.8 million that weekend. Number one that week was Peabody and Sherman, that animated movie about the dog that can travel through time.
Oh,
with that kid.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Carell's in that. No, Steve...
Ty Burrell.
Colbert.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the dad from Modern Family.
Yeah.
He's the voice of the dog, I think.
I'm confusing myself.
This is the 11th highest grossing video game adaptation of all time. Now they're looking at it just from the U.S. box office.
Okay.
That's what Box Office Mojo is referring to.
How many video game
adaptations?
Oh, never mind.
So movies based on video games.
Ooh, that's got to be a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. So this is the 11th highest grossing for the U.S. gross.
I feel like that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
11? I think so.
Yeah. Out of like 50?
Right.
It's like pretty much
top. Would like all the X-Men superhero stuff, would that be considered?
No. Those are comic book movies.
But there are also video games about them.
There's comic book movies, there's video game movies. So a video game movie, I think, is defined by its source material is like from
Resident
a video
Evil.
Game. Yeah, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil will probably be the top four on that list.
Number one is Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Oh, Lara Croft.
With $131
million. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Lara Crofts and the Resident Evils probably take the first top 10.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I can't. Most video game movies suck.
Yeah.
And they don't make money.
What's the other one? There was another racing one. Speed Racer?
Oh, that's based on a cartoon.
Oh, that's a cartoon. Yeah. Never mind.
That was based on a cartoon my dad used to watch in the 60s.
I never watched that.
Yeah.
I never watched
it's an anime.
Anime style. That's what I was never a part of.
Yeah.
Except for Pokemon. Only anime I really get into.
Okay. Meh. Well, that's the movie.
Yeah.
This movie was available on Amazon and iTunes to watch.
That's right. If you're going to watch it on Amazon or... What? If you're going to watch it on Amazon or iTunes, yeah, combine them. That's fine. Go to our website first. Click on the link. It takes you right to Amazon or iTunes. You do what you got to do normally. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it helps support the show.
And it's the holiday season, so we know you're going to be shopping on Amazon.
Yeah.
So whatever you buy on there, throw it our way first.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything.
Right. And if you click on our link first, it takes you to Amazon. Favorite that page.
Yeah.
Every time you go to that bookmark, it'll count for us. So yes. You don't have to click on our webpage every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, buy presents for everybody. Be nice.
Buy this movie. Is this movie worth buying?
I think...
It's good. Maybe not. It's good to rent.
If it came with like a Pinkman signature, then an autograph, I should say.
Okay.
Then yeah, I'll do that.
You know what? I completely lost character. At the beginning of the show, I said I'm going to reference him as Jesse.
Yeah. But why do I know him as Pinkman? Everyone else calls him Pinkman, right?
Yeah.
Walter calls him Jesse, but I think everyone else calls him Pinkman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I guess. All right.
I was on Netflix the other day watching some Breaking Bad episodes, just random ones.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, dude, Gustavo Fring is probably my favorite TV villain, like top three TV villains of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
I love Fring.
Amazing.
My favorite Fring moment is where they kill his right-hand man. He kills him with that box cutter.
Oh, oof.
And he goes, "You failed, Gustavo. You don't know what it's like." And he's putting on all this like gear.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's going to kill Jesse or Walt. And he just straight up fucking checks that guy in the throat.
Doesn't say a word.
Mm-mm. And he just washes his hands. He's like, "Get to work."
So methodical. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That was a creepy, creepy scene.
And I thought half this show would be about Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
We did good.
Yeah.
It's because the movie was entertaining.
Yeah.
I think
if
this movie was awful, we would have just been like, "Hey, remember Jesse did that thing in Breaking Bad?"
Yeah. And then Walter came in with his car,
uh-huh.
And then he killed the other guy, remember?
Oh, that, the Pontiac Aztec?
Yeah.
And he goes, "Run."
Yeah. Oh, man. Good stuff, though. I enjoyed it.
You know what would have been cool? If they had Cranston as the Michael Keaton role.
Oh, that would have been so meta.
You just bring him in. Yeah, you just bring him in for one day to shoot, and it's him doing it.
Or a camera. Or made him Jesse's dad. Like the one that died? He ran the shop or whatever?
Yeah. And like, crazy. You show a picture of him, like, on the wall, like, "Oh, that was our shop." And it's Walt.
Yeah.
Walt.
With that fedora on.
Uh-huh.
Ah! So cool.
Oh, and then Mike is the one who ran into him in Frisco.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. All kinds of stunt casting. It was that kind of weird movie. They could have got away with that.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't have, like... Because it was all about racing. I'm surprised they didn't have like a NASCAR driver or like a Formula One guy, like a well-known guy, make it like a quick cameo. Like I could picture them.
Maybe they did and we just didn't catch it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like one of the other six racers. Maybe one of the names of the racers in the
Formula
One.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. I don't know.
Maybe. Well.
Yeah.
That's the show. Watch Need for Speed.
Yes.
And until next time, this is Hollywood.
I'm Adam.